Does it feel this way to you? That the world is spinning and sometimes I'm grounded and sometimes I'm just barely hanging on? Does it feel this way to you that you need a few moments in the midst of community to catch your breath, center yourself, remember what matters? Does it feel this way that a moment to say hello, shake a hand, see a smile, a moment to sing, to dream, to rest, these moments mean so much? Come on in. Find your place here. We need each other, and we can help each other be glad and be strong. Come on in. It is good to be together. Brief readings for this morning's service. The first is by Warsan Shire. Warsan is a Somali woman who was born in Kenya and is now living in England. Her poem is entitled, What They Did Yesterday Afternoon. They set my aunt's house on fire. I cried the way women on TV do, folding at the middle like a 5-pound note. I called the boy who used to love me, tried to okay my voice. I said, hello. He said, Warsan, what's wrong? What happened? I've been praying, and these are what my prayers look like. Dear God, I come from two countries. One is thirsty. The other is on fire. Both need water. Later that night, I held an atlas in my lap, ran my fingers across the whole world, and whispered, where does it hurt? It answered, everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. And from the Palm Sunday homily delivered by Pope Francis. The temptation to silence young people has always existed. There are many ways to silence young people and make them invisible, many ways to anesthetize them, to make them keep quiet, ask nothing, question nothing. There are many ways to sedate them, to keep them from getting involved, to make their dreams flat and dreary, petty and plaintive. Dear young people, you have it in you to shout. And from a speech entitled The Other America, given by the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in 1967. I think America must see that riots do not develop out of thin air. Certain conditions continue to exist in our society, which must be condemned as vigorously as we condemn riots. But in the final analysis, a riot is the language of the unheard. And what is it that America has failed to hear? It has failed to hear that the plight of the Negro poor has worsened over the last few years. It has failed to hear that the promises of freedom and justice have not been met. And it has failed to hear that large segments of white society are more concerned about tranquility and the status quo than about justice, equality, and humanity. And so, in a real sense, our nation's summers of riots are caused by our nation's winters of delay. And as long as America postpones justice, we stand in the position of having these recurrences of violence and riots over and over again. Social justice and progress are the absolute guarantors of riot prevention.
Thank you.
Lately, and somewhat to my embarrassment, I find that I've been humming a song that's almost 30 years old. Do any of you remember the band Tears for Fears? Okay, good, thank you. I was worried I was going to be the only one who knew. You remember the song called Shout? I'm not going to sing it, but the opening lines are, and if you know it, feel free to join in, okay? Shout, shout, let it all out. These are the things I can do without. Come on, I'm talking to you. Come on. Oh, thank you so much. You're good. You are good. So I've been heard shouting at the news lately. I find myself speaking way more loudly than necessary as my housemate and I comment on the current state of the world. And sometimes I catch myself momentarily wordless and gathering all the energy and tension and breath in my body that I can muster, working up to a really fine shout that my grandmother would call hollering, just because I don't know what else to do. Shouting comes in many languages, that of fear, of pain, of frustration, of surprise, and it comes when we've just plain had enough. It comes in the language of poets, of religious leaders, of activists with a passion for justice, from just people of all ages and in all kinds of places. Shouts come with tears and prayers and a touch and a whisper. One of the many languages shout comes in is in tears. You've had some experience of this with me over this year. Moments of tears, crying as I stand here, as I will undoubtedly do right now, because I am enraged and sad about harm being done, because love, because justice. Crying in rage and caring seem hardwired in me somehow. After a few months, I learned a box of Kleenex is a good friend to have under the pulpit. Worsun Shire's poem is one of the loudest shouts I have ever read. It begins with tears. She describes herself folded at the middle, and I imagine her not just with tears on her face, but making sounds, the sound of wailing, of weeping, the shouting sounds of tears escaping from her at the news that her aunt's house had been set on fire. Her shout does not end there. It comes next as a prayer. Dear God, I come from two countries. One is thirsty, the other is on fire, and both need water. Then comes the light touch of fingers on the page of an atlas and a whispered question. Whispers too can shout, where does it hurt? And the answer, quiet perhaps, or a shout to be heard, a tired, aching shout. Everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. A poet's shout, tears, prayer, a touch, and a whisper. sometimes we shout because we must. Shouts come from the street, come from the people who take to the streets, from young people in the streets. Maybe you remember the Children's Crusade, a sure enough shout for civil rights in Birmingham, May 1963. That was when seventh grader Gwendolyn Saunders helped organize her classmates. Hundreds of kids, from high schoolers down to first graders, she organized them to be part of a massive walkout. If you were one of the kids walking out of high school, you were defying your school's principal. He attempted to lock the gates to keep all the students inside. Some reports estimate 1,200 children were arrested on that first day. The second day, the children were met with water cannon set at a level to peel bark off trees and attacked by police dogs. Then came the shouts of young people in the streets of Ferguson, Missouri, that Black Lives Matter in August of 2014. Those voices echo around this country still, and right here still. And then came the shouts of young people gathered on March 24th in D.C. and in sibling marches all around the globe, March for Our Lives. Every time there were other voices shouting, trying to be louder, to claim truth on their side, to impose silence, to convince themselves and others that those in the streets are flat out wrong, just plain lying, and worse. Shouts for justice are often met with shouts of denial. They are also met with shouts of encouragement. And so it was on Palm Sunday that Pope Francis spoke to those gathered in St. Peter's Square. He reminded them of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, the joyous welcome that greeted him, and the condemnation that was to follow. Among those gathered in the square were some 300 young people in Rome for the Church's World Youth Day celebration. As the Pope continued his homily, he made the connection between that ancient story and the events that had happened just the day before, March the 24th, March for Our Lives. If you have heard the Pope's voice, perhaps you can imagine its calm quietness. First, there was this shout out to the truth. The temptation to silence young people has always existed. There are many ways to silence young people and make them invisible. The shout out is followed by an affirmation. Dear young people, you have it in you to shout. And the affirmation is followed by a warning with an admission. Even if others keep quiet, if we older people and leaders, some corrupt, keep quiet, if the whole world keeps quiet and loses its joy, then the shout out of encouragement. It is up to you not to keep quiet. I ask you, will you cry out?
Yes.
And the young people in the crowd shouted, yes, And they shouted,
yes.
And they shouted,
yes.
And they shouted,
yes.
They shouted, yes. Shouting is also a last resort. In a time when he was persistently questioned about his commitment to nonviolence and his opinions about the riots taking place in cities around this country, Martin Luther King spoke at Stanford, his 1967 address entitled "The Other America." Dr. King spoke clearly, as he always did. Perhaps to some it was more like shouting. He spoke about the racist oppression African Americans face daily, about the failure of this nation to live up to its promises of justice and equality for all persons. His words, new to so many then, are familiar to us now. We are all caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. We shall overcome because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. We will be able to transform the jangling discourse of our nation into a beautiful symphony. And in words he would of necessity repeat over and over in days that followed, when he spoke at Stanford, he spoke about the riots. "I think America must see that riots do not develop out of thin air. Certain conditions continue to exist in our society which must be condemned as vigorously as we condemn riots. But in the final analysis, a riot is the language of the unheard." And what is it that America has failed to hear? It has failed to hear that large segments of white society are more concerned about tranquility and the status quo than about justice, equality, and humanity. Riot, the language of the unheard. Sometimes we use other words: march, protest, unrest. Sometimes, depending on who's involved, if it crosses the line into violence, riot. And even then, call it shout, collective, insistent, persistent shout, the response to the failure to be heard. And there I am, at home, in my car, listening to the news. In that moment, I can't keep quiet. I'm just a one-woman riot, shouting out loud.